Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here. It's slightly bizarre doing the talk with my dad listening as well. I know that when I was a child, I used to follow my dad round to many, many churches while he was do sermons and do talks. And obviously, after a while, the same sermons would pop up quite often. And I would just make sure that I always had a colouring pad and a pencils with me so that I was occupied through the service. So just before I start, I just wanted to make sure that my dad was supplied with those. Just in case he's heard this one before, but pop the first time. So I don't know if you've ever played 40-40. Certainly, when I come to stay with my parents, my kind of mind always goes back in time to when I was a child, and we used to live in Chislehurst, just over there, not very far from here. And I can remember that in our road we had a corner of grass with a tree right in the middle. And 40-40 was a very, very popular game that me and my brothers played, and with the local kids as well. Basically, what it meant is that one of you would count to 40 with your eyes shut by the tree. The others would go and hide, and you then had to go and find them. But you had to go away from the tree to try and find them, and then it was a race back to the tree, and you have to touch the tree and say, 40-40, I've seen you there. I don't know if you still play that, but probably not. They're probably on their phones. But so one situation, there was a few of my friends playing, and I was in charge of 40-40, so I was counting up to 40, and a number of my friends had hidden in different places. I'd managed to get about two or three of them. I only had one person to find. And so I started to walk across the road and kind of look in hedges and stuff around by my house. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw this boy running from a large hedge on the green towards the tree. And I thought, oh my goodness, he's going to get there. So I literally legged it right across and I ran across the road. Now, just as I ran across the road, my next door neighbour in her Mini Cooper was coming round the corner at quite some speed. And I hit her full on. And I went up onto the bonnet and it threw me back on the side of the road. And the boy got 40-40. I was like, and he was like, yes, yes, I've done it. And he suddenly looked, oh my goodness, he's been hitting the road. So it wasn't sort of a big celebration. But fortunately, I wasn't hurt badly. Just my neck got into a spasm. And ever since then, I've had a bit of a weak neck. And every now and again, it gets a bit cricky and stuff. But I don't know if about you, but through life, sometimes something just comes along and just smacks you right in the face. Something that you weren't expecting at all. But actually, it just comes out of nowhere, and it makes you just stop and reflect on faith. It makes you reflect on what's important in life. And certainly over the last 2 years... Oh, that's gone to My Hope Is Built On. You got it on the PowerPoint? That's all right. Over the last couple of years, my wife and my family have been on a bit of a journey. No, keep going. A bit of a journey. That's fine. A bit of an emotional rollercoaster journey. Instead of the rollercoaster being 15 seconds long and it being just an amazing thrill, it's been like a two-year journey. And in fact, it hasn't finished. The rollercoaster is still going. And so what I wanted to do this morning is to just kind of share a testimony, really, about our journey, some of the highs and some of the lows. But throughout the whole of this testimony, I want to bring that word hope right to the forefront of whatever situations you're going through, whether life is fantastic at the moment and you're at the top of that roller coaster, you're like, woo! Or whether actually you're right at the bottom and things are still difficult. I want to bring that word hope through because hope is something that, thank you very much, hope is something that we've hang on to a lot. You see some of the pictures up here. In fact, we are staying at a Travelodge this weekend because my brother's at the house. So Travelodge has become our friend over the last 2 years. And we feel a little bit like this family on the right. We actually have been out of a house, our own house, for 2 years. And although we're currently staying in a rented property, we've been looking for a house to buy for over 2 years. And certainly the circumstances that led up to that, which I'll share in a moment, have been quite tricky. And so we've kind of been on the road for the last 2 years. And certainly with our two young children that are here as well, as I say, it's been an emotional roller coaster. But I want to unpack that this morning to you and hopefully leave you with that little bit of hope of what you're going through this morning. Our passage this morning comes from Matthew 6, and just a few verses, 31 to 34. This is written out for you so you can read it if you want to, but it's from the Message, which I think sometimes kind of brings the word of life to even more life and kind of makes it very real. So I'm just going to read this through now. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never ever seen, Don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do the best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, and God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what he may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. My wife and I have clung to these verses over the last 2 years, and we've struggled with them sometimes. You know, if we're really honest, sometimes we've been like, are you even up there? What's going on? But actually, three things I want to pick out this morning, like any good old sermon has 3 points, and I've highlighted them in red. Do his best for you. That's God's intention, to be the best he can for you. God's provisions, how God provides for us, and God will help you. And I've summed it up in 3 words, and they are guide, provide, and I'm on your side. Okay, nice rhyming words. And we're just going to take those 3 words and just unpack them. And as I share my testimony over the last 2 years, you'll see how those 3 things have fitted together. So let's go back in time. First of all, starting off with guide, he shows us the way. And this is about a dream. Let me put you in the context of what's happening here. So we had a house in just outside of Winchester down in Hampshire. And we were renting our house out to some friends of ours. And we were renting a house in a village where our children were going to school. We wanted to be part of the community there. And we thought it was time to start to buy our own house again. And we didn't want to stay back in the house that we were renting out because it was further away from the school. So we decided to put our house on the market and wait and see what happens. Well, very, very quickly, our house sold. And that was really good news. And so we started to look for a new house. We were in a rented property. And so we thought, well, this is going well. We found a house that we thought we wanted to buy. It seemed perfect for our requirements. And so the process started to go ahead. We made an offer. It was accepted. And all the start of the legal things started going ahead. We signed our contract of our rented property to come out of it in July, 2 years ago. And everything was going well. On the Sunday night, and this was probably about 2 or 3 weeks away from us actually moving into our new property. On the Sunday night, my wife, Ali, had a dream. She has quite vivid dreams sometimes. Sometimes in the night she will literally go, and then wake me up. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going on? But it's quite a vivid dream. And she dreamt, and she told me this in the morning, she dreamt that our son, our youngest son, was taken from the end of a driveway by a man. And that was quite spooky. That was quite scary because, you know, that the world we live in, you hear that happening all the time. So she woke up in the next morning and shared this with me and just said, look, this has really upset me in some ways. But kind of she just put it to one side and carried on with the day. Now, that morning, she was due to be meeting up with a friend of hers for a coffee. This is a non-Christian friend. And as she went along to the coffee with her friend was kind of a little bit on edge throughout the coffee time. And eventually, Ali said, are you okay? You just seem to be a little bit preoccupied with something. And her friend said, look, I really feel I need to tell you something about the house that you're moving to. And Ali was like, okay, go for it. And she said, look, I don't know if you know, but recently, listen, in the last 2 weeks, a man has been charged for paedophilia 3 doors away from where you're moving to. And Ali was like, oh my goodness. And she shared the dream that she had the night before. And then we had this really difficult decision. You know, we want to love people as Christians. We want to accept people. But my wife actually runs a children's business for under fives. So her whole job, her whole world is consumed by little ones. And here we were moving to a house where literally 3 doors away, where he could look into our garden and everything else, there was this guy that had just been convicted. And we struggled for a number of days before we decided that we felt that this was God giving us a bit of a nudge today. This wasn't the property that was right for you. And subsequently, we told the estate agents. They had no idea that that was going on as well. And subsequently, we pulled out of that property. Now, the problem is that we actually had signed our contract to come out of our rented property. So by July, we hadn't found anywhere else, and we hadn't got anywhere to go to. And so we decided to go on the road, literally. So we packed all of our stuff into seven people's garages in our church, trying to squeeze everything into it. And we packed our car full of stuff that we thought we would need for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, 4 weeks maybe maximum, until we found another place that we could move into. You know, it's sometimes amazing how God guides us right at that first stage. You know, I've been to America and the Grand Canyon, and I was traveling around there, and as I went to the Grand Canyon, I actually signed up to do this tour where this guy was kind of at the youth hostel. He was just sort of very casual and said, look, why don't you come with me? It'll cost you $20. Come and we'll have a great time. And I was like, okay. Now, this guy kind of went over the top of the Grand Canyon, was jumping from rock to rock with like mile jumps in between. And I was kind of like following him like, oh my goodness, it's like, it was the most incredible day I've ever had. But I was so grateful that the guy knew exactly what he's doing. And sometimes in life, we really need God to guide us. That verse, if God gives such attentions to appearance of wild flowers, most of which you'd never ever seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? We, at that very, very first moment of our journey, we felt that God was nudging us, that God was guiding us and saying, I don't think that's going to be the best thing I can give to you. I want to give you my best, but I'm going to take you on this journey. Now, at the time, we had no idea how long that journey was going to be. We thought it would be about a month. It wasn't. We're still traveling the journey now. But God gave us that guide, and we really need God in our lives to give us that guide. I wonder if God is nudging you. I wonder if you've felt his nudge recently. And if you have felt that nudge, are you ready to take up that new adventure? I was interested, I was just praying this morning with some of the guys next door, and one of the ladies there was saying that she felt that she got to this elder age group, but she was not going to actually accept that. She was going to go backwards in time, you know, kind of thing. And I thought it was such a great attitude where actually, you know, are you ready? Whatever age you are, if God's got a new project for you, if God's got a new plan for you, are you ready to take that up? Even if you're a bit scared like we were, and even if it felt really painful to come out of that situation, are you ready to take up that new guide, that new project? So we accepted it. And we started to live out of bags in our car. Now, once we'd used up our jokers of staying at my mum and dad's house for a bit and staying at my wife's house, my wife's mum and dad's for a bit, just to kind of get our bearings, we came back to September, and of course the kids were going back to school, but we had nowhere to stay, absolutely nowhere. And literally we were praying for places to stay for our family. And we had no idea what was going to go on. We didn't want to go back into a rented property because we had the money ready to go for a new house. We wanted to buy somewhere and settle. And so we started to pray. Now, literally, week by week, God started to provide houses. And as you can see from the list up here, over a period of about 3 months, we stayed in a number of different properties. But you look at the properties that we stayed in, almost all the properties we stayed in were incredible houses. They weren't like little shacks at the end of a garden where people squeezed you in. They were detached houses. They were four-bedroom houses. And as we literally came to the Thursday of that week and we had to be out the next day, and we literally said, God, we have no idea what we're going to do tomorrow. The phone would ring. We'd pick it up, and God, and someone would say, oh, by the way, I'm going on holiday tomorrow. You can come and stay at our house. Okay, thanks. Right, pack up the kids. Let's just go and stay at this house. And literally it was an unbelievable journey. Initially, it was quite fun. You know, the kids were like going into a new place and going, oh, look at these drawers. No, don't look at the drawers. Don't look at the drawers. But they loved staying at all these different houses because it was like this massive, you know, massive holiday. But for us, it started to get a bit thin. You know, every time you've got to pack up your bags at the end of a week and go into the thing. But, you know, it's a balance, isn't it? You know, as you hear my story this morning, you know, thinking about the news stories we've just been praying for, this is nothing. I mean, we are living lives of luxury in this country. And as you see these bedrooms and these houses, you know, you might be thinking, well, that's not that bad. But for us at the time, it was really stressful. But interestingly, at this time, it was when the refugees were starting to, you know, just turn up on the shores and stuff. And every time we would watch the news stories, we would thank God for the situation we were in. Even though it was incredibly stressful, even though our kids seemed to be coping very well, but they were moving every time and still going to school, we had to keep reminding ourselves that God is good. He is our provider. And every single week, he turned up trumps. Never were we out on the streets. A couple of times we had to go into a travel lodge, but most of the time, who provided those houses. Well, it got to October 2 years ago, and it was one of those evenings where we just had enough. And I can remember my wife, she won't mind me sharing this, but she just literally was like, I cannot do this anymore, you know. The bags all over the place, and we were just like moving around. And we just said, God, we just need a base. We just need a base to just survive and just to have our place in one, you know, all our stuff in one place. And the next day, I had a Facebook message from an ex-student that used to go to my school. And he said to me, oh, I hear you're kind of looking for somewhere to stay. I think, not sure if you know, but my mum's best friend has got a place in Hursley, which is where our kids went to school. And they're away at the moment. I think they're looking for someone to look after their house. And within a few hours, we were Skyping this couple who lives in Nairobi. And they were saying, we've had our house empty for 18 months. It's in Hursley. We're really looking for someone to look after it for us. The only downside is that we need to use it at the holiday time because we come back. So you could have it in term time. If you could get out at holiday time, that would be great. And we were like, oh, yeah, this sounds amazing. And we asked, well, where is the house? And the house is literally opposite my kid's school. So the road is there, the house is here, the kid's school is there. It's back in the village that we love with all of our friends and stuff. And this is the house that God provided for us. Pretty average. We reckon it's worth about £1 million, considering where it is in Hampshire. Now, when we drove up the driveway, which is the gravel driveway, which is a little bit annoying, but, you know, it's the gravel driveway, we just were like, oh, my goodness. And when we started to share our story with our friends in Hursley, they were like, what? You've got that house? You know, that? How on earth have you got that house? And we were just able to share that we're on this journey, that God is our provider. It's unbelievable. And every time we go into this house, we just are just blown away by God's provision for us. But it's still difficult because, you know, every time the family come back, we've got to pack all of our stuff up. We've got to go and find somewhere to put all of our stuff, and we've got to go and find somewhere to live. And so it's still stressful. And we've been in this house now just over a year and a half, and we're still looking for a house, and we're still on that journey. But God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You know, actually, God is our provider. And sometimes we don't feel like that. Sometimes we've been praying for something week in, week out, and it doesn't seem like he's there. But as I said in that talk earlier on, just really hang on to the truth. God is our provider. You know, when we moved into this house, it had been empty for a while, and so there were a few initial problems. The boiler went down in the first month, and fortunately, the landlords replaced it very quickly. We then had a rat infestation. So we had rats in the loft. We could hear them scuttling along in the nighttime, freaking my kids out. We managed to get rid of the rats by killing them, but of course they died in the eve, so we then had the flies. It was like something out of a horror movie when you open the attic door and all these flies would come out. It was continuing to be a stressful time for us. But every time we felt stressed and we felt angry and we felt like, oh, this is ridiculous, we stopped. We breathed and we said, God, this is incredible. How on earth have you provided this house for us across the road? So what do you need God to provide right now in your situations where you are? Is it about your health? Is it about family members? Is it about money? Is it about a job? What is it that you need providing? And what has he provided already? You know, sometimes we live in a world where we're used to kind of getting the new thing. Some things get old and then we get the new thing and it's just we disregard them. And it's a bit like that with our provision. Sometimes we forget what God has done for us in the past. And we, myself and Ali, have kept a diary over these last 2 years of our journey because one day when we get our own house, we're going to really, really, one, we're going to celebrate so much, but also we're going to actually just really do something specific that says, look, this is our journey and this is where God has turned up. And in those moments of wilderness where we're just saying, why aren't you answering our prayer? We get our little diary out and we get our little paper out and say, look, this is where we've been. This is what we're doing. And it's amazing testimony to the people that are around us because they say to us things like, how on earth are you coping moving out of that house all the time? And we have to just come back and say, well, this is God. It's nothing to do with us. It's stressful and it's a real pressure on our marriage and it's a pressure on our kids. But we have to hang on to that. And finally, on your side. You know, it's great to have God on our side, isn't it? You know, if God's on our side, well, we can do anything. That's what the Bible says. Romans 8 verse 31 says, so what do you think? With God on your side, how can we lose? It's not possible to lose. We are on the winning side. And when we look around the world, we do see so much going on. But that word hope comes back to us time and time again. You know, another little story, which was another little indicator that God was on our side. My wife, through this time of the 2 years, she was in Sainsbury's once. And she saw some jewellery that she would really love to get. And it was a little tiny ring. She's wearing it today. You can go and see it afterwards. And it just literally says hope on it. And it was like her little reminder every day, whenever she looked at her hand, that there was going to be hope. We have a hope in God, which isn't like, oh, I hope it's going to be nice tomorrow. It's like a surety, a hope of God is going to come through at the end. And we were on holiday with my brother and family last year. And we were on this stony beach down in Dorset. And my wife took her ring off and put it on the stone next door to look at some sort of shells and stuff. And she forgot that she took her ring off. And when we got back in the car, when we got back home, she was like, oh my goodness, I've lost my ring. Oh no, I've left on the beach. And she was quite upset because this was like her little sign of God's hope. And she was like a little bit frustrated, like, what? This is my sign. What are you doing? And I just said, look, okay, look, just there's nothing we can do now. Let's just go back tomorrow and we'll see what we can see. But obviously, you know, the sea would have washed up and stuff. It would have been difficult. But we went back the next day and we went back roughly to where we were sitting. And it was almost as in within 5 seconds, I looked down and there was the ring on the floor, right on the stone, just literally sitting there. And again, it was just very simple, but it was a little nudge from God saying, I've not forgotten you. I've not forgotten you. And another time, we've looked at so many houses over these last 2 years. And one of the houses that we looked at just back in October, we absolutely fell in love with. We thought this was the one. We thought God has given us this one. It fits everything we need. And we were wandering out the back of the house where there's woods. And we were wandering through the woods and we were just saying, God, is this the one? Shall we put an offering? Is this the one? And we kind of, Ali again said, look, we kind of need a little bit of a sign. We don't know whether this is right or not. And we turned around and on the wall of in this woods was someone graffitied hope across the wall. And we kind of thought, oh, it's a sign. It's amazing. It's a sign. And we put the offer in and we were beaten. We lost it. And again, we're like, what? That's the sign. What's the matter? But we just don't know. You know, sometimes we don't know what God does. We are angry. It's okay to be angry. You see David in the Psalms getting angry with God and frustrated. But at the end of the day, God is God. God is massive. God knows what he's doing. We don't understand it. We look around the world. We think, how on earth do you know what you're doing? But he's the creator of the universe. He knows exactly what he's doing. We have to come back to that hope again and we say, okay, we continue to trust in you. Sometimes we ask that question, where is God? When we look around our world, where is God? Well, God is there. His heart is breaking. We've had so many pictures and so many words over these 2 years of people saying specific things of how they've been encouraged by our testimony. And that's maybe what God's doing. Maybe God's making our lives stronger so that we can continue to be like that. We don't know what his plans are, but we have to keep trusting. And it's all about God's perfect timing. We hear this kind of sometimes flippant phrase, oh, it's God's perfect timing. But again, a couple of weeks ago in our church down in Winchester, we had a visiting speaker, and it was as if he'd written the sermon just for us. He was talking about Abraham and Sarah when they were promised a baby from God. And Abraham was very old, and Sarah was like, this is a joke, this is not going to work. And over a period of time, it never happened. And they were doing it in their own time. They were trying to make things happen in their own time. But God was waiting. It was his perfect timing. And actually, when it did happen, God upgraded them. He said they're going to be the father of all nations. And it was almost as if God was saying, look, you can try and do it in your own steam, but just lean on me. It's my perfect timing. When the time is right, it'll happen. And we're hanging on to that. That actually, when that house comes, it's going to be upgraded. It's going to be the house that's right for us. But it's in God's timing. And although it's frustrating, we have to keep leaning in. Learn to lean on God first and people next. It's so amazing to have the support from our family and from our church family and friends around us. We couldn't have done these 2 years without them. People fasting for us, people getting behind us, people praying for us. It's brilliant to have that. But we have to learn to lean on God first. He is the one that we lean on first. It's really, really important. So it's an ongoing process. The guiding, the providing, and he's on our side. And if you've worked it out by now, those three initials, work out the GPS. That system that we have in this world at the moment, which is just mind-blowing. My phone, if I put my phone on and put my GPS on my phone, satellites that are miles and miles and miles away can tell me exactly where I am and exactly where I want to go. It's mind-blowing. I cannot understand it. It's like that bit of plastic. I have no idea how it works. But GPS is what I need in my life. I need God's guidance, provision, and to him to be on my side to tell me exactly where I'm going. You know, the whole kind of sat-navs that we have in cars now, I can remember when they first came out, and I would say to my wife, and I know my mum and dad say the same, my wife was like, we need to get a sat-nav. It's incredible. I'm like, no, I've got my map. I know what I'm doing. And then my mum's still like that. No, I've got my map. But it takes hours to work out and where it goes. And Ali's like, come on, we need a sat-nav. No, I don't need a sat-nav. It's like a dishwasher. I don't need a dishwasher. And then you buy a sat-nav. You're like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And literally, it just tells you the right way. Sometimes it takes you a little bit, of course, but most of the time, it tells you where to go. It even tells you what's coming up ahead. You know, it's like that dream that Ali had. It was as if God was just giving her a nudge to say, that's not going to be the best place for you to be. And it's like he was giving you a nudge on the sat-nav. And I want that in my life. I want to know the right way to go. And sometimes it's really hard to do that, but I want God's provision and God's guidance. And I want to know that for sure he's on my side. That's surely the way we should be living. And once we know that, once we have that on our lives, you'll watch what happens. People will want that as well. And we found that over the last 2 years, particularly with our friends in our village in Hursley, that actually they're looking at us. And it's not that we're super amazing or super strength, because sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're a crumbled mess. But something about our journey is rubbing off on other people. And maybe that's what it's about. Maybe that's what God's plan is, that he wanted to use us in the most extraordinary way. And when his timing is right, he'll bless us again. He'll provide for us again. And it's been tough. It's been really tough. So what about you? Where are you at? What's going on in your life at the moment? Where do you need that guidance? Where do you need that provision? Where do you need that reassurance that God is standing right next to you? You know, that poem about the footprints it's been going around for years, but it's really, really true that actually when we are at our weakest, God's not gone, he's picking us up. And we found that time and time again when we're at our absolute rock bottom, he's blown our mind once again. So the challenge is there. Get God's GPS. Work out what he's got for your life. However old you are, whatever circumstance you're going through, bring that back into line with God and let God allow you to guide you, to provide for you, and to reassure you that he's on your side. Challenge for us all. Just